about to begin a new sugya, but I can't introduce it by saying it's a brand new sugya, because there's a certain themes of the last sugya that are definitely going to come back to us. So we'll recap for just for a moment the Eretz Yisrael chavra, just getting back to into the swing of things. The previous sugya we were talking about, we began the Malach of Kosev, and we really focused on one major theme that permeated the entire sugya. Namely, what is the relationship between the din of Kosev in Shabbos and the din of Kosev in Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos? We know there are certain standards for Ksivas, Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos that have to be met. What do those standards mean? It has to be Dafka in Hebrew characters. What do those standards mean? You have to have Tagin on certain letters. What do those standards mean? You have to form the letters halachically, properly, with Kutzel Shel Yud, and whatever the details of that are. How much of that spills over to Chol Shabbos or not? So we saw two major approaches in the Rishonim. One group of Rishonim said the standards are identical. Anything that doesn't qualify as a letter in for Sefer Torah will be potter on Shabbos. If you write in English, you're potter, and you miss your tag in your potter, and you miss your kutsho, everything's going to be potter. And we had the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim who said that entire comparison is not correct. That Shabbos luchud and Sefer Torah luchud. Sefer Torah is alocha moshe mesinai, ksiva Sefer Torah, ksiva shuras, but tag, the whole picture. Comes to writing on Shabbos, if I write two letters, like I can read it. It's in English, it's in Japanese. Who cares what it's in? Who cares whether it's tag or not? You wrote it. It's considered to be writing Lashon Neyodim Yechayev and Shabbos. That's where we paskin the halacha. So that question now resurfaces in the beginning of the next sugya, where the Gemara gives a couple of strange examples of Kosev and Shabbos. The Gemara is in the end of Perek Abone with the sugyas of Kosev at Pier. The Gemara gives examples of Kosev and Shabbos, which are not your standard classic taking a pen and writing letters on the paper. Rather, the Gemara discusses as follows. A person wants to write two Zions, acceptable two things. Zaz, somebody to move, is the right word, two Zions. So he happens to see either on a piece of paper or on a Sefer Torah, let's say, he sees the letter Ches. So he starts to think, how am I going to turn a Ches into two Zions? Very, very simple. You don't have to bother erasing the entire Ches and taking that ink and starting over again. Take a little razor blade out and you cut between the two parts of the Ches. And lo and behold, every ches is in effect made up of two Zions. So Gemara says, Yechayev and Shabbos. You wrote a letter on Shabbos. You wrote two letters on Shabbos. So even though Lechora, you didn't actually write anything, what you did was you removed ink from the paper, you removed ink from the klaf, but in the process of removing ink, you formed two Zions. That's considered to be Ksivas Osios on Shabbos. That's the Gemara says at the end of Perek HaBayde. So just as an aside, before we analyze the Hilchos Shabbos dimension of the Shaila, you see a few things from this Gemara. You see that the normal way of writing a Ches, at least in the Sefer Torah, is actually through two Zions, which is actually two different Menhagim and Klai Yisrael today. Well, that's the way many of us write. It's called Ksav Beis Yosef. There were really three official Ksavim out there that are practiced today in Klai Yisrael. There's what's called Ksav Beis Yosef, called Ksav Ari, and there's what is called Ksav Velish. So Ksav Beis Yosef is, I don't want to give credibility one over the other, but I call it probably a standard Ksav in the sense of in the non-Hasidic communities, so they generally use Ksav Beis Yosef. In Hasidic communities, they use Ksav Ari, and in the real Sephardi communities, I don't mean those who say L'Dovr Mincha, I mean the real Sephardi communities, they use what's called Ksav Velish. There are very, very small nuances of difference. I'm sure everyone has seen, you go to the coast, you daven once in a while with a big Sefer Torah that is standing up. So if you look carefully at the letters, there are slight nuances of differences in terms of some of them in Hagim performing the letters. We pass in all the Ksav Makosher. There's not one is kosher over the other, they're all kosher, but there are different Minhagim as to how to form some of the letters. So one of the differences between Ksav Beis Yosef and Ksav Ari is the formation of a Ches. In the minute of the Ksav Beis Yosef, so a Ches is made, like the Gemara describes, literally two Zions on the side, with a what's called a Chata Teres, like a little crown, half an A, on top, which to connect the two sides of the Ches. That's the standard minhag in terms of writing a Ches. In Ksav Ari, it's a little bit different. Rather than being two Zions, it's a Zion plus a Vav. The way you can tell it's a Zion and a Vav. A Zion is squared off, and a Vav is round. So it looks a little bit different. But there was another way of writing a Ches that doesn't appear in Amrin Hagam today, but appears in Rashi. Rashi seems to describe the writing of a Ches as being like we write a Ches. Let's just make one lot over here, one lot over here, like Tursa Pesach. One here, one here, one here. So So the problem is that the Gemara describes the chet or teres. The teres is like a crown on top of a ches. So according to what our minig is, that a ches is written with two zayins, with a thing connecting them, that's the chet or teres of Chazal. According to Rashi, what is the chet? What's the top of the ches? So Rashi seems to say that the top of the ches, I should have put a plaque with today. Rashi says the top of the ches is, it's a regular ches that we have, but it has a little crown on the side. A little schmitchy, a little something coming up on the left side. That's the chet or teres of Chazal. So one of the kashas that Tosfos asks against Rashi is that if that's how Chazal used to write cheses, just a line, without having the two zayins forming together, so what in the world is this Gemara talking about? This Gemara in Shabbos talks about called the not leila chatatre the ches. It's talking about you remove the top of the ches, a soshnei zayinim. What do you mean a soshnei zayinim? It's not going to look like two zayins. It'll look like a half a box. So the minhag is not like Rashi. The minhag is that we write the way Tosfos' version is, the way the Gemara seems to say, that the ches is actually made up of two letters that are formed together, connected at the top. Whether those two letters are two zayins, like Tosfos, whether those two letters are zayins above, like the Ari, those are totally different minhagim of ksav. But again, bikur that we paskin, any acceptable ksav, anything that has been practiced throughout the years, that basically looks like the letter, so bikur then that's actually going to be kosher. So the Gemara is an example of being chayiv on Shabbos, even though I didn't actively do it, I didn't put any extra ink on the paper. I removed ink from the paper. I separated, I scratched it out with a razor blade between the two zayins, between the ches, and now formed two zayins. I'm going to be chayiv for that as well. Now, I think I might use another example. I could also be chayiv, but also, once again, with removing, the chiddush of the Gemara is I'm removing ink rather than putting ink on. The Gemara says, what if I want to write a resh? Instead of writing the letter resh, and I happen to notice, oh my God, it happens to be a dalet here. Now, doing a dalet or resh is not all that much. It's the little back of the dalet. So if you look, think about it for a minute, a resh is rounded on the top. The dalet is squared off at the top, not even just squared, but it actually protrudes out a little bit. That's the difference. Now, if a surfer is not careful, he can actually passel the whole Sefer Torah to a mezuzah. If he's supposed to write a resh and he writes a dalet or vice versa, so that disqualifies the entire parsha. That's the Gemara learns out in Masechah Shabbos from the pasuk Uchsavta Mamazuz Pesecha. Uchsavta is a lashon of ksiva tama. The ksiva has to be a perfect ksiva, and one of the dinim of perfect ksiva is Shlotadama Os Lechaverta. That one letter cannot resemble another letter. So let's say if you have two rounded dalids or two squared off rashes, then you're asking for trouble. Or for that matter, the Gemara says, what if you have a little bit too long yuds, or a little bit too short vavs, a little bit too long zayas, a little bit too short nun sofits, so you can start having letters that start to look like one another. So that's what the Gemara says in Masechas Menachos. How do you know? How can you tell whether something is a vav or a yud? It's a little bit of a judgment call. How do you know whether your vav is a little bit too short? I know whether your yud is a little bit too long. So that's what the Gemara says, that you ask a tinoik, you bring in a small child who doesn't know how to read so perfectly. If you have an expert, so he's going to see right away what it is. The shear was given that it's the fee kriyas tinoik. A child who doesn't have such a perfect sense of reading yet, he knows how to read. If he doesn't know how to read at all, then it's going to be a pretty silly test. So he knows how to read. The Gemara says you have to be a child who's lo chokim lo tipesh. He's not so smart. He's not so advanced in his reading skills. He's not getting 1600 on his SATs yet. On the other hand, he knows Aleph Beis a little bit. So you have to be in a small child around the first grade or so. You're reading a small child, and the child reads the letter. The child reads the letter properly. That shows that it's Nikola Ayin, that it's a kosher letter, and the Sefer Torah is kosher. If the child can't read it properly, then we have a problem. Then the Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah is going to be puzzled. In a Sefer Torah, that's not the end of the world, because you can fix it. In Tefillin Mezuzah, that's a big, big problem. Because in Tefillin Mezuzah, you can't fix it, because we learned already previously that when you write Tefillin and Mezuzah, it has to be Kesidron. Everything has to be in the correct order. So if you, we mentioned it just the other day, we talked about filling. Yesterday, Thursday, okay. Not even the other day, 24 hours ago. So we mentioned that when you write a letter in Tefillin and Mezuzahs, so you have to make sure the letter is done before you move on to the next letter. If you go on to the next letter and want to fix up some mistakes in the previous letter, that's going to be a problem. Unless those mistakes were so insignificant that they didn't interfere with the Turus Ha'os that we mentioned yesterday, with the Maharami Rutherford, with the Tagin, and the Kutshayuds, etc. So the last thing you want to do is have a letter that looks like another letter. In Tefillin and Mezuzahs, that's pretty much going to mean it's going into Sheamus. In a Sefer Torah, it's not the end of the world. You'll be able to fix it up. So the Gemara says that the guy is wants the rhetoration. He sees a dalet there. So rather than erasing the whole thing and starting over again, he just, you know, cuts off a little bit, takes his razor blade and scratches away a little bit of the dalet, and lo and behold, he has a rash. So the Gemara says, guess what? Yechayv and Shabbos for that also.
So So do you have another case that parallels the katan to be the host to be mach or something?
You have baguette. You have baguette also.
And with that, would you be able to go to a guy that knows how to read Hebrew but not well? Once you go, I mean, is it Indian of katan or is it an Indian of just anybody who's not familiar but yet knows?
The Rambam has a lashon in Hilchos Sefer Torah in describing just how legible a letter has to be. The pasuk says "Uchsaftam amazus b'sechav yisharecha," Uchsaftam the Tosha Bapeh says it has to be ksivatam. It has to be very, very clearly what each letter is. So the Rambam writes that there has to be leman yorot hakoribo. That's the way the Rambam describes it. It has to be written so clearly that a person who's just reading quickly will be able to catch it right. Will be able to see the correct letter right away. Sometimes you can have something that's a little bit messy. And if you start to read it quickly, you read the wrong letter, then you stop. Take off your glasses, start looking in my eye, and it really is a vav. The Rambam writes, that's no good. It has to be leman yorot hakori, but it has to be like your first reaction, your first impression has to be that what the correct letter is. So it's hard to be mishaya that, what your first impression is. That's what the Mefarshim explained. That's what Chazal, whether this is halacha mashim sinai, whether Chazal mishaya this, whatever it is, this idea of checking idea tinok. That a Tinoch's reading will be the equivalent of Leman Yoretz HaKoribay. That's how the Mefarshim explained. What you're referring to is a little bit different. And sometimes Halacha allows us to bring a Goy in, to do some kind of a testing for us. That's an Ochas Kashrus. If you have a little drop of milk fell into a big pot of meat, and you have no idea whether the Shishim or not. So the Gemara says that if you have a Goy who can taste it, so the Goy will tell you, I don't taste any milk there. Or I do taste any milk there. So that's okay. We're not going to have a cut and do that because we don't want to cut into your trash in case it turns out that it doesn't have the right amount. So well, we're not going to test it, obviously, ourselves. But here, I'm not sure why you would use a go. I think that the correct testing is the testing of the cut. So the Gemara has the testing by Sefer Torah Tefillah and Mezuzahs. Tosfos on the spot writes that the same thing is true for a get. Because when you're writing a get, also, it has to be legible. You have to read it. So if you have a letter that's questionable, then you have to bring a cotton in. So I was actually, one time, I was a cotton for a get. I must not remember exactly what there was, but there was a get that was being given across the street from my house. It was a small shtibel in Riverdale, so apparently they were being masader a get there. I remember I got a call. I think I was in the middle of watching a basketball game or something, but I remember it was a Sunday afternoon. It was at Mustafa when I was doing something very productive. So I was a little kid, and I remember I got a call that Mas said to me, Rabbi Plony, I need you across the street for a minute. So, okay. I still remember, it made such a roshim on me, this is over 40 years ago, it made such a roshim on me, I remember my mother insisted that I got dressed appropriately. I said, the rabbi needs you. In today's world, go fit. I had put on a white shirt, I put on a Shabbos shirt or something. I was probably walking around my shorts and who knows what. So she made me get dressed to go, the Rav called, you gotta go to the rabbi's house. It's a different mentality from a generation gone by. So, Kachavas, I remember, I went across to the rabbi, and I still remember this again. Over 40 years ago, I remember the following picture in my mind. I remember the Rebbetzin was sitting like in the back room with a woman together, and the Rav of the Shul was sitting with a man in a different room. So that was ready to get the picture of it. And there was a sofer there, a few other people around, and they called me over and they said, what do you think that letter is? So I looked at it. I must have given the right answer because there was a little bit of a sigh of relief. So, Baruch Hashem, okay. And they sent me back. Maybe I think they gave me a lollipop or something, and they sent me home. So I could say I was machshir get at the rightful age of 6 years old. That was my first experience and first and last experience in being machshir get. So anyway, getting back to the story.
A get is also a kisidron?
No. Get is not kisidron. Yeah, you can fix it, right? But we don't like to fix things again. When you start to fix things again, it gets a little bit tricky. You have to start erasing the letter. It's not the best setup. Let's get back to the story. So the Gemara gives two strange examples of Kaisim and Shabbos. Either the person who separated the top of the Ches and turns it into his eyes, or the person who cuts off the back of the Dal and turns it into a Resh. The common denominator of these two cases is that neither of them are being done by adding Dio, by adding ink. They're both being done by removing ink, which raises a red flag for the Rishayim. So comes the Rashba. In the end of Perek HaBoina, in the end of the Torah Perek HaShabbos, it raises a bomb kasha. Says the Rashi, wait a second. This seems to be a violation of a principle that appears actually originally in Maseches Gittin, has been extended to Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzos. The principle is called Chak Tochos. The Gemara Maseches Gittin in the second Perek writes that when you write a get, v'chosav l'sefer krisos, so ksiva has a certain connotation to it. V'chosav means you have to actively write. You have to take ink and put it on the paper, put it on the parchment. That's called ksiva. If you form a letter by some indirect way, you do something to remove a background, thereby forming a letter, that's not considered to be a kosev for the purpose of Vichos Gittin. So the Gemara actually draws a distinction in the Sefer Berachot of Gittin. If a person wants to write a get in the following way, they don't want to write it with ink on paper, they want to carve a get, a new one, carve in stone. So that's also called ksiva. The luchos were ksuva b'yetzpel okim. They were written. There was no ink on the luchos. So carving is also called ksiva. So Vichos on the Sefer Kriis, no problem. I could take a stone and chisel out. I could chisel out a get. V'yechad b'shabesh, not him. Chisel it out. That's called a get. That's fine. That's a perfectly kosher get. However, the Gemara says, what if a person doesn't actively chisel out the stone, but he presents a get to his wife in such a way that the words came into existence by using a mold in a way that they pushed the background away, and by pushing everything away, memela, the letters are still bolei. Remember, the letters are still standing. The letters are now protruding, not because I pulled out the letters, or not because I pushed back the letters, but because I pushed back everything around it. Now the letters are here, kind of there by themselves. So Gemara says that get is possible in the Torah, because it says v'chosav lo sefer krisos, v'chosav lo v'chokak. It doesn't mean that v'chokak, that carving is no good. The Gemara says if you carve out the letters proper, that's okay. But if you carve out the background, thereby leaving the letters protruded, that is a problem in the Torah. So the Rishon Makvuk to point out that has nothing to do with Gittin. That has to do with the definition of ksiva. Therefore, when it comes to writing Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos, that halacha is also going to carry over. Now, obviously, no one's writing Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos on stones, unless on this one's Pasha, V'chasaf l'lavonim, v'erei tev. But when you are writing Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos, we're writing on klaf with yo. So the Rishonim say that you can have that same imagery of writing versus removing. What's the din in the following case? A person takes a piece of cloth, and he wants to write a yud. So he takes his pen, sticks it into the dio, into the ink, and he forms a beautiful yud on the cloth. That's great. That's called b'chosav. But what if he does as follows? What if he's about to write a yud, and then the bottle of ink spills? He's got a big blob of ink now sitting on the cloth. So the guy says, yeah, I'm a little low on ink. Instead of me starting over again, instead of me crossing out all this ink, you know what I'll do? I'll save a little bit of ink. It's a blob, but a blob and a yud are not all that different from one another. So I'll carve away a little bit of the, scratch away a little bit of the extra ink on the side, a little ink on the top and the bottom, maneuver it. It's probably between you, it's probably easier to write here than to do that. But the guy's getting a little low on ink. So he maneuvers in such a way that he scratched away the excess ink. And lo and behold, he's got a beautiful yud there with kutushu yud, of Rashi, everything's a little mahadrim and mahadrim. It looks like a beautiful yud. But if you think about it, he didn't write the yud. The yud came into existence by itself. He removed the background. Again, it's not the same as the Gemara. The Gemara's case is, I removed the background of stone, now the letters are revealed. I removed, the Gemara talks about making a metal mold. I removed the background of the metal, and now the letters are there. So here I removed the background of the ink, and now the letter is here. Lo and behold, come to Rishonim and say that, Sefer Torah to Mezuzos, those stam apostle min Torah. Because the din is, uchsaftam, you have to write Mezuzah. Kis v'luchem v'sashir azois, you have to write the Sefer Torah. It doesn't say to write tefillin, but the pasuk uchsaftam, the Gemara says, is referring back to tefillin as well. Kshartam uchsaftam, there's a bit of ksiva by tefillin as well. So whenever that halacha requires a ksiva separsha, ksiva separsha has to be done davka ayadei ksiva, not ayadei chak toiches. There's actually an interesting machlekes in the Rishonim about, not about the parshas of tefillin themselves, but about the shin on the tefillin. The Gemara says in Menachos that there's a halacha moshe besina that you have to have a shin on your tefillin. So the Rishonim of Machlokes, what does it mean you have to have a shin on your tefillin? It means you have to have a ksiva shin. There's a halacha of ksiva sa'is. If the mamash write the letter in a halacha, the acceptable method of writing, well, then the halacha moshe besina is shin shel tefillin halacha moshe besina. There has to be a shin there. How it got there? It's there. My nafkamina, big nafkamina, an expensive nafkamina. How does that shin have to be formed? Must that shin be formed directly? You have to sit there and with a tweezers and pull out. Start to pull. You have a mold of leather, you have a big box of leather. You have to start to pull out the piece by piece by piece to have a ksivas hashin. You're not going to take a pen and write it. Some Rishonim say you can do that also. But what we do is we pull out the shin piece by piece, very, very painstaking way, in order to ksivas hashin. According to other Rishonim, you don't have to ksiva sashin. So this is a shin there. So what do? You stick the bias of the sharosh in a mold, and it pushes back the rest of the bias, and the shin appears. The shin appears, hocus pocus, there's a shin there, but it wasn't written. It was formed by the chak teiches. So the Rishon, that's also okay, because there is no din of ksivas hashin. So on the better pairs of tefillin, Baruch Hashem, over the years, the tefillin industry has gotten significantly better. So the regular standard tefillin that most of us are wearing today, the shins have been already formed in the proper way. I mean, they're formed the way that's kosher l'chatchila, and they mamash sit and they pull out the shin. But some of the older pairs of tefillin, some of them are not as mahud pairs of tefillin, so they were using the mold model. The Magen Avraham and the Taz, both paskin the mold model is good. We paskin mikudin either way is good. We paskin mikudin, you don't really need a ksiva, but l'chadchila, there are some mishnah who say you need a ksiva, so the more expensive tefillin do the ksiva. As all other things in life, you pay per chumrah. When to use a mold takes a minute. To pull it out with the tweezer takes a while, so we pay for labor, pay for the extra skilled labor. Anyway, getting back to the story. When it comes to ksivas parashas, everyone agrees it must be done derech ksiva, cannot be done derech chak teiches. So that din is true both gittin and for sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos. It comes to Rashba and asks, so why are you chayv in Shabbos? If a person has a ches, imagine in the sefer Torah you were supposed to write two zayins, and by mistake you wrote a ches. No big deal, I'll just take a razor blade and scratch out the top. That's puzzle. That's chak teiches. I formed the letter by chak teiches. Well, let's say, Lamashal, I'm supposed to write a resh, and by mistake I wrote a dalet, so I'll take out a razor blade and cut off the end of the dalet. You form the letter by chak teiches, that's no good. L'chor the din is you have to erase the whole letter and start over again. You can't form a letter, ayde chak teiches. So ask the Rashba, how could we say Yechayim on Shabbos? If that's not called a ksiva for Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos, it shouldn't be called a ksiva for Shabbos as well. Now, that question is reminiscent of the previous sugya. I wouldn't have necessarily asked that question unless I really truly believe that there's some kind of a connection between your standards of ksiva for one and your standards of ksiva for the other. So this is the bridge to the last sugya. So comes the Rashba and formulates this kasha. How could it be Yechayv and Shabbos? It's not called Kosev. If it's not called Kosev for Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos, it's not called Kosev for Gittin, it's not called Kosev for the Av Malacha, one of the Lamentes Malachas. Nimsa L'Mashar Beinu is Malachas Kosev. Is Nishkin Kosev? That's not called an act of Kosev. So the Rashba says, you're right. Rashba says the standards are the same. And if it's not called Kaisev for Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos and Gittin, then it's not called Kaisev for Shabbos as well. And Chak Teiches is actually Potter on Shabbos. If you form a letter through Chak Teiches, you're Potter. But says the Rashba, these two examples are not examples of Chak Teiches. These don't qualify as Chak Teiches. What are the qualifiers of Chak Teiches? I took my razor blade and I scratched between the top of Chesed, made two zayins. Says the Rashba, no. That's not called Chak Teiches. Says the Rashba, tell you what Chak Teiches is. Chak Teiches is that when the letter itself is mamish made through Chakika. When, like the examples that we gave, and a blob of ink fell onto the cloth, there's nothing there. There's no letter there, QZ. There's mamish nothing there. It's a blob of ink. Now I go ahead and I take a razor blade and I start to scratch around, move around, and then lo and behold, I formed the letter. B'chila v'yatzayv, the letter was formed. Ayyadei chak teiches. That's called chak teiches. That's not a kosher get, and that's not a kosher sefer Torah mezuzos. And guess what? You wouldn't be chayav for Shabbos in that either. If you formed the letter on Shabbos, you're removing the ink and out of a blob and turning it into a yud. That's not called kosher for Shabbos. The standards are the same. Says the Rashba. The two cases that the Gemara was describing, the person who separates the two Zions and the person who separates, who scratches away the back of the dalet, neither of those cases qualifies chak teiches. You know why? Says the Rashba, the letter was basically there already. It means I had two Zions. When you write a ches, so I write a Zion, I write another Zion, I had two Zions. What happened? I goofed. I connected the two Zions afterwards. So I had the ksivas os, bekashrus. The letter was written already bekashrus. Hello, what? Something happened afterwards that disqualified the os, and now I want to touch that up, says the Rashba. If you do that in the Sefer Torah, it's also kosher. If you write a get that way, it's also kosher. So if the woman's name is, name there's two Zions, her name is Zaza, I don't know. So we're going to write the name Zaza. By mistake, we wrote two Zions and we connected and we wrote a ches. Says the Rashba, no big deal. You don't have to rip up the get and start over again. Take out a razor blade and scratch out between the two letters, and thus you form the two letters of the two Zions. What do you mean you formed the letters? But you formed it by erasing, not by writing. Says the Rashba, yeah, but the letter was there already. So that's not considered to be chak teiches. And the same is true when you have the Reish and the Dalet. So I wrote the letter. I basically formed the letter. A little bit of ink kind of spilled on the edge of the letter. It causes trouble. That's causing me to read the letter a little bit differently. So the way the letter is right now, it's not a possible. I can't write a Sefer Torah that way. I can't leave it in a get that way. No big deal. Take a razor blade and cut off the back of the Dalet and the Shalom Yisrael. The Sefer Torah is kosher, the Tefillin is kosher, the Mezuzah is kosher, the Get is kosher, and you chayv skila for writing in Shabbos. So you get the best of all worlds. So comes the Rashman says, my fundamental question is correct. My fundamental premise is correct that the standards of Kosei versus Chaktochas on Shabbos and Kol Tor Kulo Kitten and Stam are the same, but we just have to water down a little bit. We have to revamp a little bit. We have to redefine what is Chaktochas and what's not Chaktochas. So the Ran at the end of Perek Habayim, at the end of the 12th Perek of Shabbos, quotes this Rashba, and he says he doesn't know what the Rashba was asking in the first place. He says he doesn't understand the Kushim Mekor Leisa, the Rashba, the Gevaldik Akasha. I give Hoshia Klolik to answer the Kasha. The Ran says, I don't understand the Kasha. You know why, says the Ran? Ma Inyan Shabbos, Tekseva Sefer Torah, Tefillah Mezuzah, and Gittin. He says, when it comes to Sefer Torah, Tefillah Mezuzah, so there's a halacha of Ksiva, Chsafta, Chosav Lo, it's got to be Davka Derech Ksiva, not Derech Hakika. When it comes to Shabbos, the only thing that really matters is result. Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah, says the Ran. Did you accomplish what you wanted or not? You wanted to have two Zions. You want to read the word Zaz. That's your goal. You want to write a note to somebody with the word Zaz in there. Echpatli, it matters to me, says the Ran. Whether you form the letters by putting ink on the parchment. Whether you form the letters by removing the crown of a ches and thereby having two Zions. At the end of the day, you have what you wanted. When it comes to the Shabbos, we're very result-oriented. You did it. You accomplished that there are two osias now that exist on the paper. You created two osias. You created them either directly, you created them either indirectly. There is no halacha marsina called kesev. The malach of Shabbos is, you created osias. The osias were created by you doing them. That's it. That's the end of the story. Yechayev and Shabbos. It's not a kosher Sefer Torah. Who cares, says the Ran? Who says that the standards for ksiva, for Shabbos and Sefer Torah are the same? See, you're excited about this, Ran. So we have a lot of work cut out for us. This machlokes Rashi from the Ran. There is a double machlokes here, and each one of these is a sugya really in and of itself. There is first of all a chiddush gadol of the Rashba within the sugya of chaktoches. The Rashba put the brakes on chaktoches. He told us that cases that we thought would have been chaktoches are in fact not chaktoches. According to the Ran, that is not true. According to the Ran, these are chaktoches. So we have a chaktoches machlokes, which hopefully we have to evaluate a little bit, and then we have a fundamental chashavas machlokes, namely, what exactly is the standard definition of Kosev and Shabbos? Is it a throwback from Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzah, and Gittin? Or is maybe to be Chayav and Shabbos, you don't need a Maisik Siva. Maybe just a formation of Osios, whether through a Mais or through a Chaktachas, doesn't really interest us. If at the end of the day you have two letters on the page that are readable, maybe that's enough to be Chayav and Shabbos. So we have a work cut out for us in both parts of the Sugya, the Chaktachas angle of the Sugya, as well as the Shabbos Ksiva, Chaktachas angle of the Sugya.
Why don't we go for Shabbos?